97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm Mark Cox. Bo Matthews along with me here, and of course, Carl Middleman. And hi. We talk a lot about, whenever I talk to one of my friends who lives over in the People's Republic of Illinois, I always apologize to them and say, I'm so sorry. Because I feel like we live in liberty over here in Missouri when it comes to our gun rights compared to what they're constantly facing in the state of Illinois. And one reason for that is what's gone on in the Missouri legislature the last few years. SAPA was probably the crowning achievement of that when it comes to your freedoms, although there have been court cases and everything filed against that. But we have joining us this morning Jared Taylor, used to be with the Missouri House of Representatives from the 139th District, and he now does some work for the Missouri Firearms Coalition. And great to have him on Second Amendment Radio this morning. Jared, how are you?
I'm good. How are you all?
Doing well. Doing good.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. You know, I wanted to ask you, the Second Amendment is under fire nationally, and oftentimes that fire is directed at Missouri because we stand up so strongly for the Second Amendment. What is your take, since sort of national headlines have stolen the narrative this week? Here we are in Washington listening to the president claim that he's pro-Second Amendment, but he wants to confiscate your firearms.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing from politicians all the time is, oh, I support the Second Amendment. I own a gun. But, and there's always that but on the end of every time they say they're Second Amendment supporters when they want to take guns away. I mean, Democrats used to say, well, we don't want to do that. We don't want to take your guns away. We just want reasonable restrictions. We want to make it harder. We want to, do all these other things, but we don't want to take your guns away. Nobody's saying that they want to come in and take your AR-15 or your handgun. That's exactly what they're saying now. I mean, the sheet has been lifted. We know now who is running the thing, and they want to take guns away. That's exactly what they're trying to do.
And with that comment like that, anytime I hear a politician, no disrespect to our current guest, say something, it's usually the opposite of what they truly mean and truly believe. It is a fight that's going to continue till the end of time, I believe, unless the left wins and they somehow, I don't know how they could do it, but somehow, register or confiscate or something like that. What is Missouri Firearms Coalition doing right now? And in the conversations that you're having, maybe with the left, what are some things that come out that you think maybe that does make a little sense?
Nothing. I mean, as far as
absolutely nothing.
Thank you. I'm thinking. I know the answer to that.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing. Nothing makes sense, right? I mean, the left wants you to believe that, this isn't that big of a deal. This isn't an infringement. But, look at red flag laws, for instance, something that we are doing in Jeff City right now. We're trying to make sure that the red flag laws aren't implemented. Joe Biden went through the budget last year, put in over $900 million to entice states to implement and enforce red flag laws. And so what we're doing in Missouri is we're trying to push back on that. We're saying, look, we're not going to do that in Missouri. We are going to make sure that our law enforcement isn't enforcing red flag laws, whether it's something that local municipalities come up with or something that the Biden administration comes up with. And so that's what we're doing. Why would we want, I don't think it's okay to take away someone's guns without having a conviction of a felony, which is what we've always said is the reason why you lose your Second Amendment rights. Now they're saying, well, we're going to come in and take those guns because we don't like you and we don't think you should have. You should have them, even though you haven't been convicted and you haven't even been charged of a crime.
I wanted to ask you, Jared, I read this week that, and I've had Lincoln Huff on my program before last year. I can't remember what the issue was, but I did have him on. And, I challenged him on some things because in a lot of cases, he was the Republican senator who was at odds with the conservative coalition last year in the Missouri Senate. And I read that this week he sided with Democrats against some common sense gun legislation. Do you have any details on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so he did. So he sided with two of the most liberal Democrats in the Missouri Senate and said they're going to try and block our anti-red flag law that Senator Bill Eigel has filed for us. And it killed the bill. It made it a 3-3 vote. So at this point right now, you know, that bill is dead in committee. We have other avenues, of course, through amendments or whatever from the House bill that's still moving that we could get that bill through the process. But he absolutely did. You know, and he even went further, though. It wasn't just that he voted against the bill because he thought that was a bad bill or, you know, thought it was written poorly or whatever. He went further and basically said that, you know, we've gone too far. We've bastardized the Second Amendment. I mean, he's quoted in St. Louis news media of saying that we've gone too far, that we need common sense gun reform, basically. And you know, it's appalling that we've got a so-called Republican who ran on Second Amendment issues is now coming out and saying that we've gone too far, that we need some restrictions on the Second Amendment. It's insane. And Missouri gun owners need to be aware of what's going on in Jeff City, because it's Republicans like this that we could get red flag laws in Missouri, yeah, or we could have Second Amendment rights taken away. I mean, he goes as far as to say that constitutional carry should be restricted.
Jared Taylor is our guest from Missouri Firearms Coalition. Thinking about what happened on Monday in Nashville, what is the opinion of Missouri Firearms Coalition? And actually, not only just talking about arming teachers or, you know, some teachers, as I mentioned in the previous segment, what are we doing to actually move that ball in that direction? Because I personally think, you know, good people with guns are going to stop bad people with guns before anybody else. You can't have a law enforcement officer on every street corner, every neighborhood corner, every school at this point. How can we get Missouri Firearms Coalition to maybe talk about training some of these teachers that are interested in maybe doing this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are things that we've done in Missouri. So, for instance, we have the school protection officer. It's different than a school resource officer. It's actually a member or a faculty or staff of a school district that can go through training. It's several hours of training. I want to say it's maybe somewhere around 100 hours, maybe a little bit more than that. But they go through a standardized training. There's a company down here in the Springfield area that does it, that's amazing at what they do, but they train teachers and faculty to be able to carry while they're at school to protect their students if this need arises. Or in law, we also have the ability, they don't have to go through this training. They can carry in schools with the permission of the school board or the superintendent or the principal. Someone has to give them that permission. So we have those opportunities right now. And then also in the budget, we actually put some grants in place where schools could apply for these grants to send their teachers through some of these trainings. So we've done things in Missouri to make sure that we are protecting our students and allow them that opportunity, that faculty and staff to put those people in place. You know, in Nashville, that school that you know, was shot up last week or earlier this week, the head of the school, that Catherine Kuntz, I mean, she did an amazing job. She took her school through training, made sure that she got some of the top of the line. And I think that's why we saw, you know, unfortunately we had six that were shot and killed, but only six. I mean, the teachers did a fantastic job of making sure that they locked their doors, that they got their students out of the way. You know, one of the little girls, the 9-year-old Evelyn Dickhouse, she was the one that was trying to pull the fire alarm to warn other students. I mean, we have heroes in these situations. If we could only give them the tools necessary, if we could give Catherine, you know, she should have had the opportunity to defend her students with a firearm, that would have stopped that shooting immediately rather than waiting on law enforcement, which still took 15 minutes for them to arrive.
Yeah, it's true. Jared Taylor, our guest from the Missouri Firearms Coalition, former Missouri House member from the 139th District. This week, and I don't do this very often. In fact, I'm pretty proud that I haven't done this very much because I'm not a snowflake. I defriended two people on Facebook this week, and both of them basically put the same message up. And it was the message that said, when are they going to care more about their kids than their guns? First of all, you can't reason with somebody who takes that point of view. And secondly, in terms of protecting our schools, you know, I covered a lot. I'm talking a lot about the upcoming school board elections and how important it is for people to get out and vote, Jared, and get people with common sense on these school boards. I drive by a bunch of schools here in the greater St. Louis area that have AstroTurf on all of their football fields. They've been able to pass bond issues to spend money on things like that, but they poor mouth it when it comes to security, to hardening the schools, to building portals where there's only one entrance to the school and you have to enter and then be buzzed in to get through the bulletproof glass to get into the building, maybe to because if you have an SRO in the Missouri area, the school district is responsible for part of their salary, and they always poor mouth that as well. They need to make security more of a priority in our schools, and they just don't do it.
Yeah, you're right. That's exactly right. Instead of focusing, their resources like they have on these multi-million dollar sports facilities, maybe we should put a little bit of that money into hardening those schools and preventing these and sending their teachers through some of these training programs that are offered through Missouri. Let's put a focus on that instead of blaming an inanimate object. Let's do something about it.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, are there any updates from the legislative session before we run out of time here regarding attempts to weaken SAPA? I know there was a court decision against a portion of that law. Is there an effort underway to either vote on something different down in Jeff City right now?
You know, there's always that threat. There's a concern that could happen. We're keeping a close eye on it with Missouri Firearms Coalition, making sure that doesn't happen. You know, right now the judge put a stay on his own order, so that bill, the Second Amendment Preservation Act, is still in effect.
Good.
And until we hear about it further from the Eighth Circuit will make their decision. But I have a feeling that it's going to stand. In fact, I think I told you on your show at some point whenever we were working on it that we expect this to go to the Supreme Court. And we expected to lose at the lower court, where we know that we have a less of an opportunity when we're going in front of an Obama-appointed liberal judge. I look forward to our chances. If you read anything that anybody, most attorneys out there that are qualified on talking about anti-commandeering and the supremacy clause, they have said, if you judge Napolitano the other day said that this is one of the biggest federalist challenges in his lifetime and maybe in decades. And so I'm excited about our opportunity, and I think we're going to move forward. But we do have to continue to watch to make sure that they don't try and weaken SAPA, that they don't try and make any changes. But right now, that's not the case. But that doesn't mean that it can't happen with an amendment that's slipped into a bill.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Christian schools, the private schools, live a little bit of different laws than you do with public schools. And I would think more churches, like church services, have security in there to protect the congregants and the people that are going there. I think those private schools that are out there, kind of like the one in Nashville, maybe want to think about having some kind of a protection group that's there Monday through Friday with the kids, because again, you live on your own laws. You guys get tuition paid. You may have the resources to do that. Why wait on the government to do this in public schools and make that a law? That's, when we're talking soft targets, churches, hospitals, things like that, I think it's necessary in this world of evil that we're living in right now. Jared?
Yeah, you're right. It's unfortunate what we saw in Nashville, but I think we should take away Evil exists in the world, and unfortunately, usually the places that are targeted are gun-free zones, and it's because these criminals, these madmen know that they can go to these places and not be stopped within a reasonable amount of time. They're gonna be able to carry out their attack. It's going to take 15 minutes for law enforcement to arrive, and they're going to be able to do whatever they want to do for those 15 minutes.
Yep.
And so, yeah, we absolutely have to put teams in place. I mean, you know, that's why I'm on my safety and security team at our church, and that's why, you know, we do what we do at our church, because we want to make sure that our congregants are protected. That's exactly what other churches should do. Private schools should be doing this as well. It's a lot easier to do that. They already have that ability, but so do public schools. Let's protect these public schools by allowing these teachers who want to carry, who have the ability to carry, and who are trained to carry, let them do that to be able to protect their students if this situation were to arise.
All right, Jared Taylor from the Missouri Firearms Coalition. Keep up the good fight. For those of you that want more information, you want to get in that fight with them in a peaceful way, MissouriFirearmsCoalition.org. Thank you so much for joining us again on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, sir. Be safe.
Thank you all. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good to know that you got people like Jared up there working hard for us, and Aaron Dorr and the others, the Missouri Firearms Coalition.
It takes a village, to coin a phrase.
You had to bring up Hillary Clinton right at the end of the show.
Come I didn't. You brought her up. I brought up a. You've said it before, too.
I'm just kidding you, Bo. Thank you.
Okay. Back to wine drinking. I'm sorry. What? Outdoor day drinking. That started with opening day, and it's going to go on through the weekend, I'm thinking.
It sure will. That's going to do it for this version of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
See you, boys.
More at 971talk.com.